Welcome to the Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. Got James Petras back again today. Jim, of course, is a very distinguished Latin American expert. He knows the region as well as anyone, and he writes so prolifically, not only in Latin America, but on virtually any and all regions of the world. He generally puts out a new book every year. More books Jim has written than my fingers and toes multiplied over three times at least. I lost count of the number in the many dozens, and there's always a new one coming out. Jim's latest one is titled The Arab Revolt and the Imperialist Counterattack, and later in the year there'll be another one. Jim, it's always great to have you back, and so much going on. I'll let you pick the areas you want to focus on most.
Well, why don't we deal with something of great international significance that's meeting this week in Chicago.
I know what you were going to say.
The NATO conference.
Indeed.
I think NATO, which is a military pact headed up by Washington, that's been in existence over a half a century, and it seems to have lost its way. I think that's the best way to put it. The NATO alliance, the military alliance with France and Germany and England heading it up in Europe, they've lost two wars. They lost the Iraq War. They were forced out of Iraq, and now they're in the process of disengaging from Afghanistan. And their whole strategy in Afghanistan is a total failure. Here we've committed over $1 trillion, which at the cost of the domestic economy. And every week we read of these 300,000 Afghanis that were supposed to work for the U.S. in securing the country and making it a puppet. Every week one of these Afghan soldiers turns around and shoots one of their NATO advisors, indicating the high degree to which NATO has lost control over this Afghan force. And ultimately, when as the U.S. and NATO countries are withdrawing their troops in haste, their idea of leaving behind an advisory mission of several dozen thousand, that's going to go down the tubes. As soon as the bulk of U.S. troops and NATO troops are out of there, the country's going to revert back to a independent government. Probably Taliban and other groups will take over. And here we are with tens of thousands of wounded and maimed and dead American troops that were sacrificed in a very costly and lost war. So here, two wars, a strategic failure in Afghanistan, a war in Libya which destroyed the economy and murdered thousands of people, and the country's now overrun by terrorists and gangsters and thugs that are marauding each other now. And now we have Libya, where the terrorists are putting bombs in and threatening to kill the UN observers. And the media, of course, don't pick up on this. The media has become so extremist in this country in particular. I read the Financial Times, and they apologize for terrorists. They put bombs in Syria next to government buildings. And the Financial Times reporters, nobody knows who's responsible. Come on. I mean, this is the crudest kind of cover-up. Everyone knows who's responsible. The opposition is putting bombs there, killing a lot of civilians. But the press, the New York Times, they play Mickey the Dunce. Who did it? We don't know. The opposition claims that it's a self-induced bombing. The government claims it's the terrorists. Who knows who did it? And, of course, this is ridiculous. There's thousands of civilians and military officials have been murdered. The extremism in the media is something I've written about, Steve. You know, you and I make criticisms about the loss of social programs in the United States. We're the conservatives. We want to conserve Social Security. We want to conserve Medicare and Medicaid. We want to conserve social programs for poor children, meals in schools. So they call us the left or the hard left or the radical left. I think of ourselves as conservatives. We don't want wars in Afghanistan. We want negotiated settlements. When there's a question of some person like bin Laden, the Taliban, very reasonable, sitting down proposing that the U.S. negotiate extradition, the U.S. launches a war. So extremism at the service of empire is really very destructive of democratic values and even what I would consider progressive conservatism.
Well, there's no question, Jim, and a man that you and I remember well firsthand, Dwight Eisenhower, a conservative of the breed that no longer exists. There may be a few around, but there sure aren't many, and they certainly don't have any power in the U.S. government or across Europe. And, I mean, he warned about the stuff going on now. I mean, if he's getting messages in the grave, he is absolutely mortified and enraged at the stuff going on. I mean, it's worse than anything he ever could imagine. And it doesn't matter whether you've got, I think it's worse with a Democrat in power, Jim, than a Republican. You know, Bush was absolutely reviled for what he did. At one point, his approval rating, I believe, hit a record low for U.S. presidents since they started taking ratings. Harry Truman, I think, had the previous low. Jimmy Carter did for a while. I think about matched Harry Truman, and Bush matched the two of them, or I think even briefly exceeded them. Well, you know, Obama, the great black hope, came into power, and, you know, sweet talker, and, you know, the con man that you wrote about. I mean, what a con man he is. I mean, he could pull this. George Bush couldn't pull off what he pulled off. I don't think Romney could pull off what he's pulling off. I fear Obama more than I fear Romney. I think people would be enraged if he continued this stuff and continued the rhetoric that he uses. And, I mean, who knows? I mean, there are a lot of sparks in the country now, Jim. People are really suffering badly. On mainstream, it's a protracted depression. Poverty's at record levels. Unemployment is close to 23%. It's getting worse. Today I'm writing about Greece and the U.S. economy again. I mean, the numbers are dismal. They're in a downward trajectory. And my God, 6 months from now, next year at this time, who knows how bad it'll be. People will only take so much pain, and then they're really going to react, and who knows how extreme they may react. You know, it looks like that's the only way they can get any change. But, you know, people will only go so far, and then there could be an explosion. Sooner or later, it's going to come.
Well, certainly the extremism of the administration. You know, you mentioned Obama getting away with things that Bush wasn't able to put across. Take the U.S.-Colombian Free Trade Agreement. Now, back then, when Bush was president, the trade unions, the AFL-CIO, the liberal wing of the Democratic Party raised a storm over the thousands of people that were assassinated in Colombia, especially 60% of the trade union assassinations in the world take place in Colombia. And here is Obama championing this free trade agreement and the trade unions going along with it. They're not raising objections, despite the fact that 27 trade unionists were killed in 2011. And just the other day, I think it was the 11th trade unionist this year has been assassinated. So the crimes are still going on. The trade unionists are silent. The Democratic liberals are quiet. Because it's Obama that's doing it. While it was Bush that was pushing free trade agreements with the murderous government in Colombia, everybody was vehement on the so-called center-left. And now they go along with it. And the same thing goes with Hispanic-speaking peoples. When Bush was talking about strengthening the border patrols and heightening the control over the Hispanic population, and occasionally there were people that were deported. There was a big hue and cry from Hispanic groups. There were huge marches by Hispanic politicians. And now, under Obama, record number of Hispanic-speaking people have been deported. The brutality of the Border Patrol is much worse. They're more intrusive in people's livelihoods and their workplaces and in terms of factory raids. Under Obama, more Hispanic-speaking people have been deported than any other president in history. And yet, where are these Hispanic hustlers that got out the marches and the immigrants? They keep their mouths shut because they're part of the Democratic Party machine. And so we hear about the Hispanic vote being up in the air, and the hustlers in the Latino areas, the Democratic Party hustlers, are trying to make a sale to vote for Obama, but they don't have any arguments because, speaking to the facts, Obama is more extremist than the Republicans, or equally so. So we have this problem of the liberal part of the spectrum silent on crimes committed by Obama and pointing their finger at how bad Romney is. And I agree, Romney is a nightmare for Hispanic peoples. But Obama has been a living nightmare throughout his administration.
Boy, has he ever, Jim, and it really is shocking. There was a report on Russia Today, Russia Today News this morning, that economic conditions in America are so bad that Mexicans who risk their lives to come here for menial jobs, you know, anything, because they lost their livelihoods at home, and most immigrants come from Mexico and the Latin American region, Central America, but mostly from Mexico. And the report was that things are so bad that the numbers coming have slowed, and a good many of those here find prospects so dismal that they're going home. And I think one they quoted on here said, you know, if I live in poverty in America, I might as well go home and live in poverty and be with my family.
Well, that's happening in Europe, too. I've picked up some figures. The flight from Portugal and Spain is growing each day as the unemployment rate hits 25% official figures in Spain, and in Portugal, counting the underemployed and people working off the table, under the table, it runs to about 32%. And the Portuguese workers are going to Brazil. The Spanish young people are going to Argentina, Uruguay, and I don't mean these are return migrants, that is people that emigrated a few years ago. These are Spanish-born, Portuguese-born people that see no future in Europe and are migrating to the Latin American continent. Some are going to Africa, actually. There's been an outflow of Portuguese going to Angola. And so I think the economic crisis, particularly in these neoliberal states where the financial capitalists took over and pillaged the economies and now are imposing these one-sided reversals of living standards, what they call austerity, which is not really austerity. It's really rolling back wages and employment for working people. There's no austerity for the upper classes. They're buying their third homes and their second Mercedes Benz, and they're buying these $20,000 Rolex watches. So when they say austerity, it's really nonsense. It's not austerity. It's rolling back income to make the rich richer.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've written about this before, Jim, and I'll mention it in the article that I'm writing today, that most of Obama's fiscal stimulus, somewhere on the order of $1.5 trillion, most went to tax cuts for super-rich Americans and corporations, of course, and minor amounts went to the state, by comparison, minor amounts went to the states to revive housing, to help ordinary people and that need it so badly. The lion's share of that $1.5 trillion went to those who don't need it. They get along very well, thank you very much. They don't need extra tax breaks. They don't need extra support. They're doing fine. Reviving the economy can make everybody fine and get have results better than what they've been experiencing all along. But that hasn't been the administration policy. It sure won't be under a Romney, nor will it under Obama, because there's bipartisan agreement already post-election to start kicking in $4 trillion in domestic spending cuts that come mostly out of social spending. I believe it's over the next decade, so it's so many hundreds of billions a year, and there are benefits that are helping America's most needy that expire at year end, and betting odds are they won't be renewed. That's what's in the offing post-election. As tough as the times are now, Jim, they're going to get much meaner and nastier ahead.
Well, that's why the Chicago meeting on NATO, NATO's lost wars, their sanctions against Iran, which is causing loss of millions of dollars in trade and cheaper price for oil. We could save over a dollar a pump if we ended sanctions with Iran. If we hadn't gone into Iraq, would have been another a change in price in oil. We would probably be pumping gasoline out at about $2 a gallon if it wasn't for the cutbacks in Iraq and Iran, and this in on top of all the military spending. So this NATO meeting, if we're talking, it's not something over there. The money that we spent and the business that we destroy, the trade that we undermine, this is what is causing a good part of the decline in living standards and the cutbacks in our social budget. So if NATO would recognize, which it won't, the fact that these wars that were engaged in the 2000, the whole decade, were ended immediately, and the military was retired from these active imperial adventures, we would be at least in a position to restore some programs in the United States instead of cutting them back. And I'm afraid now with the elections coming up and the post-elections, what they're going to do when they talk about budget balancing is they're going to keep most of the military spending in and cut deeper into the social programs and call that a compromise. It's a rotten compromise. It's a compromise which puts overseas imperial politics ahead of domestic priorities, and I think that's what this NATO conference is about. And there's one problem here. The countries in Europe are in a zero growth at the maximum. Most of them are in recession, including England, including France, especially Greece is going backwards over 30% the last 5 years. Spain is going backwards. Portugal's backwards. Italy is in crisis. Zero growth the last 3 years. Negative growth this year. The population is so discontent, they can't continue to engage in military wars sponsored by the U.S. It's not that the regimes don't have the heart for it. It's a question that there's so much domestic problems and discontent and deterioration that the European regimes, left, center, or what, right, they can't afford to go into new wars with Iran and continue to back Israeli adventures in the Middle East. There's going to be a break here, And this NATO conference is an attempt to sort of add up the losses and what happens from here. I think Europe is going to tell the U.S., look, if you want to start a new war with Iran, if you want to get into hot water by pointing missiles at Russia, you're going to have to do it on your own. You're going to have to make this a one-man American war. And we're not about to break any relations or get into provocations with China with the incidents you're cooking up with this so-called blind man human rights worker with his stylish black leather jackets and designer sunglasses and blown hair, hair-blown styles. I mean, some poverty fighter for women. I mean, the whole thing was a put-up job to scuttle on improving relations with China, which the U.S. desperately needs. And let's get the media in here, Steve. It's such an extremist position that they're taking across the board. I mean, the very language that they use about austerity and reform. When they mean reform now, they mean taking back from the people hard-won social gains. They've even perverted the language that people talk about the crisis. They talk about reform. Reform means improving people's lives. Now they mean subverting people's lives. The media have become, and I don't mean just the yellow journalists, the Daily News or the New York Post. I'm talking about New York Times, the Financial Times, the Washington Post. They've perverted the language in pursuit of extremist regressive policies.
Well, indeed, absolutely indeed, Jim. It's one of many things that obsesses me. I hope you're right about NATO. I worry greatly about what may be coming. I especially fear a war against Syria. You know, NATO has always been a U.S. tool. It's a dagger that the fist of America holds and points it at whatever target it wants to take out, you know, whether it's Afghanistan or whether, NATO's been around for a long time, but it's been used so belligerently since 1999 against Serbia, Kosovo, that the absolute atrocity that the U.N. Security Council didn't authorize, the U.S. Congress didn't authorize it. NATO just decided on its own. Well, America decided on its own and got NATO to go along. I think NATO would be a lot calmer and less belligerent if America was not part of the organization. But unfortunately it is, and it seems to sway a lot of other countries to go along with its schemes. Again, I fear another war coming against Syria, Jim.
Well, it could be. I'm not certainly the Washington and Israel are big forces here, the French. But there's one big difference, Steve, and I think we should mark it. The previous interventions took place when Europe was relatively prosperous and growing. Population was more passive. And the same goes here. Now we have two things which are different. We have a deep economic crisis, high unemployment, very, very little margin, economic margins here. Anything you take from for the war, you take out of people's pockets. And on top of the economic crisis, you have a great deal of political turmoil and social discontent. Two new factors here. Now, let me just flag one issue. Whenever countries have a deep economic crisis and get into prolonged wars, there are revolutions. The combination of economic discontent and imperial wars led to the Russian Revolution. The breakdown in at the end of World War II, when the Chinese nationalist government tried to continue war in the face of horrendous economic crisis and problems of post-war reconstruction, there was the Chinese Revolution. So we got to point to this fact, Steve. If Washington pushes for new wars in the midst of profound economic crisis and deep discontent. We're looking at creating circumstances for major popular uprisings, and that's my prognostication. New wars are going to boomerang against the incumbent regimes that engage in them.
Oh, indeed, Jim. Again, indeed. But I think we both would agree that the stuff that's going on today, whether it's the harshness, the economic harshness, and the repression going on domestically, or the continual wars one after another, and the nation, this nation, uses its resources to benefit big corporations, mainly financial ones, mainly the big Wall Street banks, and there's an open-ended budget for them. There's an open-ended budget for militarism and imperial wars, and ordinary people go begging when they most need help. How long will people put up with this stuff? I'm sure that's why the so-called power structure of this country wants a sweet talker like Obama as president. I think that's the best thing he has going for him, that Wall Street sure wants him reelected. Who wants Romney over whether there's a majority for one versus the other, I'm not sure. A current poll, I think it was a Gallup poll, had Romney ahead of Obama, and economic conditions can get worse ahead, not better. Does the power structure really want Romney to be president when he will be beaten up by the public, or would they prefer to keep Obama? I have to believe that that Obama is the choice. Well, we'll see. It's a long time from now to
Steve,
November.
I talk to people on Wall Street occasionally, and last week I spoke to a couple of investment advisors, and I won't mention the firms, and they told me they're giving money to both sides. They don't care who wins because they're both in their pockets. They both want to retain the Bush tax cuts. They both want to increase U.S. Bailouts, et cetera. So some of them vary. Some will give 80% to Romney and 20% to Obama. Some will do the opposite. And the different sectors of capitalism. Hollywood is big on Obama, because they get all sorts of payoffs as far as anti-piracy laws and all this kind of stuff, getting access to the Chinese market. And then the Romney people draw most of the money from Texas, and the Wall Street people play it smart. They figure we give a little to each one of them, millions for the candidates and billions in kickbacks.
Oh, indeed. So, Jim, I guess they're hedging their bets. They don't want to put all their chips in one basket, because if the other basket wins, then they might not quite get the benefits that they want. Oh, it's a dirty game, Jim, and the time goes by much too fast. I look forward to getting you back next month. These problems are not going away, and I suspect as we go through the year, Jim, we're going to see things get worse, not better. And I must add, before I get off, I dread this weekend. I call it a NATO invasion of my city.
Yes, you have a walking corpse. I think they've lost their way. They've lost their wars. They've spent the country into misery. I don't see them having any kind of rosy future.
I hope so. We will go out and celebrate if that's the case. That would be absolutely marvelous. Jim,
well, they're not going to break up. They'll stay together, but they don't have any wins to animate their future.
Oh, that sounds marvelous to me. Jim, gotta get off.
Steve. Thanks.
I thank you. Look forward to next month. I'll remind my listeners, Thursdays, 11 a.m. Eastern, weekends, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Make it a regular habit.